welcome to BiblioBanter. This is Erin.
This is Laura.
And it's just the two of us today talking about the future of the book through Star Trek, and we're focusing on the episode Hotel Royale.
I think it's actually called The Royale.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's season 2, episode 12 of Star Trek The Next Generation. If you would like to watch, you can hit pause here and then watch the episode and then come back and listen to our discussion.
That was thinking, watching music. Yes, so Laura had the great idea, in my opinion, great idea, to apply Leslie Howsam's definition of the book to this episode. So Laura, why don't you tell us about what Leslie Howsam says?
Well, Leslie Howsam, in her introduction to the Cambridge Companion to the History of the Book, has a 4-point definition of the book. Number one is the book is a text, which may or may not be a literary work. Number two is the book is a material object. Number three, the book is a cultural transaction, a relationship of communication and exchange, often commercial exchange, that operates within a culture and a political economy. And number four is the book is an experience.
Yes, exactly.
Stardate 42625.4.
The episode The Royale, the basic plot of it, in case you did not just stop and watch it, is that the Starship Enterprise comes across a planet, and there's a mysterious reading coming from the planet.
So well, there was debris of a old U.S. NASA spaceship first that they came across, and then they saw this planet and they saw a structure that looked like a place where humans would go. So they beam down Worf, Riker, and Data to check out this place.
And they make a very amusing team of investigators. They enter the hotel and they are greeted as the foreigners that have been awaited. And they get hotel rooms and casino chips and they start experiencing this world.
That they can't escape from.
That they can't escape from. They find out that they can't escape. They also have lost contact with the starship. And then they find the remains of a human, and it turns out to be Colonel Ritchie.
Colonel Ritchie.
Lionel Ritchie's father. They find the remains of Colonel Ritchie, and they ask the Enterprise to do a little bit of background research, and they find out that, yes, this was... a member of a mission to find...
They were the third ship, I think, to try to leave the solar system. They examine the room a little bit where this corpse was found, and Worf finds some books on a nightstand, which he refers to as curiosities. And of the two books, one is a diary with a single entry, and the other is the book, The Royale, or Hotel Royale, I think.
Hotel
by
Royale.
By Todd Matthews.
Commander, some curiosities.
Books, a novel, Hotel Royale. Summarize, please.
And so the book is like a pulp paperback book, and fun fact, it's not a real book. It was developed for this episode, but it has similarities to, mean, the plot lines, it's this kind of, they call it in the episode a cliche, bunch of cliches, just this base in a casino, kind of shallow characters. And the diary entry that is discussing this terrible book, he talks about how it's the aliens that created this world based on the book probably didn't know that the book was bad.
Right.
They just assumed that it was representative of life on Earth, and it was actually for them a sort of atonement for their, they accidentally, possibly, maybe on purpose, we don't know, but they infected the rest of the crew that was with this Colonel Ritchie, and the rest of the crew died, but he woke up in this hotel, and so it's maybe the aliens trying to give him this almost paradise feeling place, but it's actually a torture.
Right.
I have come to understand that the alien contaminators created this place for me out of some sense of guilt. Presuming that the novel we had on board the shuttle about the Hotel Royale was in fact a guide to our preferred lifestyle and social habits.
So we have many aspects to discuss in terms of Leslie Halsom's definition of the book. So let's first just look at, let's just go through in order. Text. How would text come into play in this episode? Oh, just FYI, they make it out. They find a way to escape this novel by reading to the end and figuring out that the foreigners were able to leave the hotel after they purchased it. So they win because Data is very good at gambling, and he is able to crush dice back into equilibrium with his AI strength, or Android strength.
Yes.
And they leave, and they go back to the Enterprise.
Right.
Okay, so back to text. So I think we already talked about how it's a second-rate novel, so you have this idea of levels of goodness in book. Goodness in terms of maybe the content, but also the way that is written.
Right.
So this one, it's stupid.
Right.
But it also isn't improving somebody's morality. It's all about gambling and drinking and this guy trying to sleep with a girl.
Yeah, and kill her husband.
So yeah, it's all
these terrible things that make it a second-rate novel.
And the different characters, as they come into contact with this storyline and the way it's written, they basically all react the same.
Yeah.
So I'm sure at some point, in this episode, it was a real book. I'm sure when it was published, there was an audience for a group that actually did enjoy it because, every book, it's reader. Every reader, his or her book.
Right.
Or their book. But yes, in this episode, it's pretty one-sided. Mm. Bad book.
Right. But I mean, I think the interesting here is the text became a guide for the aliens because I suppose it was the only actual printed book that was on the ship.
And was it on the ship?
That's what they said.
That
they found it on the ship, and so they decided, well, this explanation is how life is supposed to be for this person that we treated badly.
So some crew member purchased or was gifted or found this book and brought it with them on a space mission.
Right. So in this sense, the text is an authority.
Also.
For, you know, what the aliens believe is the perfect human existence.
That's a good point. So now looking at material object, there are actually many different book formats in this episode. There's the printed book, which is preserved in this preserved in this room. And there's the online, the ebook version that Jean Picard is able to read. He also is almost listening to an audiobook because he's listening to the live events, and then it's the same dialogue.
Right.
But then there's also the lived-in
version of the book. The version that the aliens have created. And the world that Data and Worf and Riker have to escape from.
And to already maybe apply this, the other point that Hauser makes about the book is mutable and product of human agency, that really does apply to the different material objects because this same text over the centuries has been changed into these different forms. So probably when it was first published, well, so even when it was first published? Was it the 2037 when the Colonel Ritchie went to space, or had it been published beforehand? We are not quite sure.
Yeah, we're not sure. That's not made clear.
But it does represent 20th century.
Yeah, it definitely represents the 20th century. So
there, a Hollow novel wouldn't have been possible. I mean, we don't have Hollow novels now.
Right.
So it's this. There's a future format for the books that are published now that we can't even think of possibly.
Right.
But it could have been the printed or the electronic. Mm-hmm.
Now, as a book historian, it would have been interesting to know what the aliens have textually and what they're used to, because they clearly recognize the book as something that represents, you know, what life is, so...
You know, that's a really great point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
what did the aliens have, and how did they know that this could be representative of a different world?
Right. So, I mean, there's always things we can pick through and pull out of more information we'd like.
Yeah. Which brings us maybe to cultural transaction, which is the third point.
Well, I mean, if we think of it as a way of communicating...
Sure.
You know, essentially, it is communicating what the aliens think is the culture of the humans on the ship.
Sure.
So, I mean, we're back to that again, that of the assumption of the aliens, of what a book represents, is the culture of the person that they captured.
But this culture, obviously, again, changes over time.
Right.
And so even the people who would have been from the United States that are on the Enterprise, they're thinking, what is going on?
Right.
But then it is interesting, going back to the fact that you have Riker, Worf, and Data. Data is really open to everything that's happening, because it is just information for him.
Right.
Worf is a little bit judgy.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then Riker, you have Deanna Troi, when she's trying to reassure Jean-Luc Picard that everything's all right down there. And she's saying that the reaction to the environment that they're in, which would be the Hotel Royale, is amused on the part of Riker.
Right.
So it's different emotional reactions to the novel. And so culturally, it does also influence how you will react to the book.
Right. Which, wouldn't it be great to have a Betazoid to, like, read people's minds while they're reading, so you could see directly what the reception is of the novel?
Really great idea for a reading experience.
Yeah.
So we need to find a Betazoid.
Yeah, we need to find the planet.
Okay, guys. Really focus on space travel so that book historians have more empirical data.
Okay, and then...
Then we also have experience.
Right,
which
the book is an experience, which clearly this book is one big, huge experience for everyone in this episode right now. And it was an experience for Colonel Ritchie, who's now dead.
Who wanted death because the book was such a terrible experience.
Right.
Which I'm sure everybody has read at some point a book that they just thought, no.
Right.
I'm going to put this one down.
Yeah, I can't do this anymore. Exactly.
The dangers of reading.
Which I guess brings us to the question, what book would we want to be stuck in?
Yeah, and there's two parts to this question. Which one would we want to be stuck in? And which one would we dread most being stuck in? And here we think about our answers. So we've been brainstorming.
We have.
Because it's a really difficult question.
And it's a difficult question because it's not just about, oh, what's your favorite book?
Right.
It's about, what book could you stand to exist in?
And the story is constantly repeated, but at the on the other hand, you're not the main character.
Right.
So you're just living in the world of the book.
Right.
So originally I thought actually Pride and Prejudice, because it's a nice story, and they go to some fun dance parties and walk around and read. And
yeah,
that sounds fine. But actually, your Laura had a really great idea,
well,
and
yeah.
I am changing mine.
Well, I was thinking of worlds like the Harry Potter world or the Lord of the Rings world, where the universe is bigger,
mm-hmm.
and there's more things to kind of see and do and understand about this world,
mm-hmm.
or these worlds. So it would be infinitely more interesting, even if bad things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be okay to kind of live an existence where you have kind of this idea that there's more to it than just
yeah, and I agree.
Small.
I changed my vote.
Okay.
And then, so which book would you least like to live, or, yeah, to live in?
I mean, I think there are so many.
Yes.
I think technically right now the latest I can think of would be something like The Man in the High Castle,
mm-hmm.
which is an alternative world of, you know, that Germany and Japan have control of the United States after World War II. But at the same token, there is an element of hope in them. So you could always be fighting for the resistance, and that's something. But I don't know if you want to do that for the rest of your life. But then some people do that for the rest of their life in reality, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Some people have compared this book to what's currently happening, The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, right.
I absolutely would not want
yeah.
to live
definitely.
That story.
That would be pretty
line.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just any horror story.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, I think there's a lot of just regular stories that seem okay.
Sure.
Because, I mean, to me, while I like the background of something like Pride and Prejudice, I don't think I would do well in
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
that type of sensibility. I'd probably get in a lot of trouble.
Which is why it would be maybe all right if you were the main character.
Right.
Because the main character is allotted a little bit more freedom
right.
and
right.
the ability to challenge the system. But just as a background player.
Right.
End up married to the preacher.
Right.
Living in that house, and he would be very boring.
Yeah, very good. So is there anything else that we want to talk about with the Royale?
We did want to talk about how this world is different than a Hollow Novel. Because in Star Trek, there are Hollow Novels that are written, and we will be talking about them in more detail with
mm-hmm.
the next episode,
mm-hmm.
in which we discuss Author.
Mm-hmm. Which is a Voyager episode. I think it is. Yeah, it's season 7, episode 20. So before, whenever it is, we manage to get our next episode out, if you would like to watch that before we discuss it, then now you know.
Yes. And so that talks about the writing of Hollow Novels
mm-hmm.
and, again, the reaction to Hollow
mm-hmm.
Novels. But in those book forms, there is more an element of reader control,
mm-hmm.
is my understanding of it. So
yeah.
right now, if I'm reading a book, I can't change the text. It's
right.
already there.
Right.
But if I'm participating in a Hollow Novel, there is a storyline,
mm-hmm.
but I can either just go along exactly with the storyline
right.
or change it a little bit. But this episode, it again, it's not holograms,
mm-hmm.
but it's
right.
the similar concept.
Right.
It's already, you're trapped in it. You have
right.
absolutely no control
right.
over what happens next.
Right.
As what happens next with the other characters,
right.
that is.
Right. Although I'm not sure I would say we don't have control of text and of work or reading, because we do interpret things for
that's
ourselves
true.
And if we want to say that's control or not, I'm not really sure yet, but I will say the reader does assume some responsibility, I think, with texts and how it gets read.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we can jump to the end of the book, for example,
mm-hmm.
and read what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
which then takes away the elements
right.
of suspense that maybe were
right.
written in on purpose.
Right. Which then also alters our reception of the novel, because
that's
we
true.
Know what happens. So there's so many different things that can affect how we react to what we're reading.
That's true.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think also, I think with this lived reality of the book, it's very fixed. You can't be a true reader when you're, these characters could not alter any parts of, you know, and even he says at one point, it's all part of the novel, don't interfere.
Mm-hmm.
So let whatever happen, happen. So even if you say you're participating and you call yourself a reader in this reenactment of the novel, you don't have as much control as a normal reader would have as they're reading something, because you can imagine something that's different than it's described in the novel. You can do all these things, but here it was very fixed.
So we don't have access to this book.
Right.
But we don't know if it's written from the perspective of a narrator.
Right.
Or if it's first person, third person, second person. We just don't know this.
I think in the episode they do say it comes from Mickey D's point of view.
Okay.
I noticed that, but then I was wondering how that's possible, because he's not... doesn't seem to be in the scene that much. I mean, he's talked about off the scenes.
Yeah.
But he's not an active character that you only see him once when he shoots the bellhop.
But if it would be really interesting if the aliens had put Colonel Richie, if it was in first person and they put him
as
Mickey D.
Right, yeah.
Because that's a very different reading experience that you're going through. And I think the, again, going back to the idea of the Hollow novel, you can pick which character you play often.
Right.
And then it changes your perception of the text itself.
Right. So, I mean, I guess a Hollow novel is more like the choose your own adventure novel of the days of yore.
And I think we did talk about this in the last week's episode.
Maybe
the idea of video games as well. You
do
have some control over who you are and where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that comes up in the episode is the idea of Data reading the printed book, and he speed reads, so you still have the idea of computer interpreting text.
Right.
And then Jean-Luc is reading / listening to the book, so you have a human working with the text through computer assistance, because it obviously offers the search function. You can jump to different pages. Which you could do with a printed text as well, but he can scan a little bit more efficiently. And then so this idea of AI on authored text, what's the the interaction there?
Right.
It's kind of an interesting topic for the current time period, because there is AI...
There's AI poetry.
Poetry and produced text.
Right.
So,
yeah, generated text.
Generated, thank you. The next generation of the book will be AI generated.
Am I supposed to groan now?
I guess so. A groan would be a... But you can laugh. That's it. Just laugh. It's so bad that it's funny.
But I think, you know, the interesting thing... Another interesting aspect is that, you know, the solution to their problem, as every Star Trek episode is, they get themselves in a situation, they have to solve it. The solution is in the book. They just have to, you know, the book is everything for this episode, really.
Yes.
It tells them everything they need to know.
Yeah, that's true.
The book is a savior in this case.
It's also, so I was just trying to think, it's also a gift from, so we talked earlier about the book, this world being created by the aliens as a sort of atonement for their crime or their accident.
Right.
What an interesting concept of book gift.
It is, isn't it?
Here's this very specific form. It's... a torture chamber is is the reaction to the book.
Right.
But it was a gift.
Right. It was meant to be a good thing.
Yeah.
For this Colonel Richie.
And have you ever received a book that was terrible and you wondered why the person gave you this specific book?
I haven't, but I gave my dad a copy of the Pulitzer Prize winning novel last year. Less. And my dad pretty much said, why did you give me this book? It's nothing that I'd be interested in at all. He read it, to his credit, but he really did not like it. You know, you can make these mistakes, but I don't think anyone's given me a book that I didn't like.
And I mean, I guess we could just open it up to other kinds of films and
right.
TV shows, etc.
Right.
People make recommendations,
right.
and then you think, what
right.
in the world
right.
are you thinking? Do I come across as the person who
right.
likes this kind of thing?
But then at the same time, it can also be something that you like something one time and you don't like it
That's
another
true,
time.
Right.
And there are plenty of books that I read maybe when I was 20
mm-hmm.
that I might read now. I'm like, why did I think that was so brilliant?
Right.
And the vice versa, too. Something
right.
if I give it another chance, I like it more. So.
Because the book is mutable
the book
over
is
time
mutable.
And space and culture.
Yep, it's mutable and it's a product of human agency. Thank you, Leslie Howsam, for that.
Thank you, Leslie Howsam. I actually do want to make one more comment about the diary.
There's also one other thing, a diary with only one entry.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange that this diary had one entry
mm-hmm.
only. I think if I were trapped in a world... I would have written more. Or
right.
where did the diary come from?
Exactly.
Was it part of the world or from the spaceship?
Right. I mean, that's what I was thinking too. Because if he had a diary and it was a material object diary, it wasn't like he was doing it on his laptop or something. Where did it come from?
Right.
Did they give it to him? Was it there? You would think he'd maybe been filling it in since he shipped off on this adventure. But no, it just had, you know, a very convenient explanation for what was going on. So in this case, a book as a plot
mm-hmm.
mover, moving device. Oh, okay, now we know what's going on. That's great. Thank you very much for writing this one entry in your diary that we have no idea how you came upon it.
Yes. And maybe he's only saying in this diary because he knows that future generations might read it and
right.
then judge him and his taste in books. Maybe he really enjoyed this world. And it's just a posterity that he wants to fool by saying that he hated it and it was a torture.
But I'm gonna think no. I think it was pretty bad for him.
Yeah. Probably. So we're going to take a moment here and do a little Star Trek Mad Lib.
Mm-hmm. We'll start with the most famous intro ever. So, Erin, can you give me a place?
Tunisia.
Okay, and a noun.
Barber.
And a silly word.
Choo-choo.
And a number.
27 and a half.
And a verb.
Verbs are real tricky here. Meow.
Meow, okay.
I just looked up and Laura has a cat skeleton here, so.
not a skeleton from an actual cat.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
She has interesting taste.
Plural noun.
Onions.
Noun.
Jargon.
Plural noun.
Juries.
Animal.
Ferret. Always ferret.
Always ferret. Or hedgehog.
Or hedgehog, yeah, that's true.
Adjective.
Sticky.
All right. Tunisia, the final barber. These are the voyages of the starship Choo Choo. It's 27.5-year mission. To meow strange new onions. To seek out new jargon. And new juries to boldly go where no ferret has gone before. Cue sticky music.
That was a really interesting one. Knowing exactly what the real words are supposed to be.
I know, that's fun. Thanks for listening to another episode of Bibliobanter. And next time we'll be back to discuss Leslie Howsam and the author episode of Voyager.
Yes, so we're kind of having a different take. This was more from the reader side,
mm-hmm.
and next will be from the author side.
Yes, it will. And the AI side.
And the AI side.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You can listen to Bibliobanter on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Visit our blog at bookhistory.home.blog. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at BanterBiblio.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, if you're out there listening to Biblio Banter,
we raised money for your organization, so you should probably reach out to us. You can contact us through this email address that we have that you know about.